The sea can be a vast and mysterious thing, but oceanographers make it their business to understand what's happening beneath the surface. Chris Holdreed is the director of NOAA's Kositsna Bay Laboratory near Homer. She's part of a team of researchers involved in a long-term ecosystem monitoring project called Gulf Watch Alaska. Since 2012, Holdreed has collected basic information about the water conditions in Kachemak Bay, like salinity, oxygen content, and temperature. She says the results from last winter were unusual, to say the least.
The water temperatures that we saw, instead of being in the mid to upper 30s, were in the low to mid 40s. So those are temperatures we typically see in June.
It appears to be part of a larger trend. In late 2013, a persistent high-pressure system allowed a huge patch of abnormally warm water to form in the Gulf of Alaska. 3 years later, the blob, as it's now become known, has yet to dissipate. And those warm water conditions are now thought to be affecting wildlife populations, both in and out of the water. Researchers now believe last year's common mer die-off was linked to increasing water temperatures. Volunteers counted about 46,000 dead mers in Alaska last year, but at least 500,000 may have died. Shannon Atkinson is a professor at the University of Alaska Fairbanks. She's one of the people trying to understand what caused the die-off.
The big question is why? What is going on that is resulting in this final sort of disastrous state of birds flying on shore or dying in large numbers?
Common mers look like a cross between a loon and a small penguin. Most died on shore over the winter, a time they normally would be feeding near the continental shelf, and they were in rough shape.
The birds were way underweight. The veterinary reports were that they were emaciated, and the cause of death was pretty much attributed to starvation.
Now, Atkinson and her colleagues believe they may have identified the reason why the mers starved. Wintertime trawl surveys conducted by the National Marine Fisheries Service near the continental shelf found that three of the fish species the mers typically eat, pollock, capelin, and eulachon, were absent.
At least in 2015, there were none of them. They had some of the lowest counts that were very close to zero, and so we know that the food wasn't there, and then we saw the birds dying.
So how does this relate to warm water temperatures in Alaska? Fish feed on tiny marine creatures called zooplankton. Cold water tends to favor big, fatty zooplankton species, while warm water promotes the growth of smaller zooplankton, which don't provide as much energy to the fish.
That's why we've been calling it the perfect storm, because it's not only that all these things are there, but the timing of them and the intensity of them came together in a way that, you know, had disastrous effects for these populations.
And although the die-off itself has slowed, the effects may be felt for quite some time. Heather Renner is a biologist with the Alaska National Maritime Wildlife Refuge. She visited common mer colonies during the breeding season last summer.
What we found really was birds not attending the colonies. They were in rafts offshore in the water. Very few laid eggs, and of those that did, they didn't attend them. Most were lost to avian predators, and I think there was about zero chick production in all the colonies I'm aware of in the Gulf of Alaska.
Normally, about 60% of common mers raise a chick. Renner says the extremely low breeding success last year was likely because the birds entered the breeding season in poor shape. Time will tell how the large-scale die-off will affect common mers in coastal Alaska. The good news is their populations have been increasing in the state over the past several decades.
Certainly there's going to be changes, and I think there will be some species that are able to be resilient and some that aren't.
Renner and her colleagues plan to revisit mer colonies in the Gulf of Alaska this summer. In Homer, I'm Shayla Farzon.